Morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I'd also like to thank today's sponsor, Ed Zaslo, in memory of his uncle, whose first yahrzeit is today, Yehuda Leib and Tzvi Hirsch, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. Today's topic deals with Hilcha Shabbos, which was touched upon in yesterday's parsha. The Isser of Tchumim. Now, we will go into detail about this Isser. The simple idea people know of, that you can't walk too far on Shabbos. There are some scenarios where just by walking, you'd be violating a din on Shabbos. We're not talking about carrying something in your pockets, which I guess simply could be rectified by dropping it. But here, you could reach a scenario where you have to freeze. You can no longer take a step further on Shabbos. So I thought of, came across in Halacha, an interesting case which deal with these Halachas of Tchumim. We entitled today's shiur, Crossing That Bridge. And I had some people guessing what bridge I was talking about. So, the bridge that I'm using for today's share is the Williamsburg Bridge. I know many people in the audience have roots in New York. And the Williamsburg Bridge is one of the iconic bridges that connects the borough of Brooklyn to Manhattan. May not be as beautiful as the Brooklyn Bridge.
Is it for sale today?
No. If I could sell you a bridge, I could sell you Manhattan, right? But the Williamsburg Bridge was built in 1903. The distance of the bridge, I calculate, is a little bit over a mile. So it's something that could be walked, not a big deal. And in particular, I believe the Shiloh came up about the Williamsburg Bridge, it's going back decades ago, because just where it's situated, as opposed to the Brooklyn Bridge, it's out of Brooklyn. The Williamsburg Bridge is basically in the middle of Jewish Williamsburg, and it crossed over Manhattan to the Lower East Side, Delancey Street. What could be better than that? To go from one Jewish community to another. Now, I remember this when I was in New York. They had a borough president called Marty Markowitz, obviously a man of our faith. So he put up all these ethnic signs all around the city. You know, he had these signs about, you know, don't leave New York, forget about it. Forget about it is one big word. But one of the other signs they put up, actually on the Williamsburg Bridge, when you were leaving Brooklyn to enter Manhattan, the sign said, "Leaving Brooklyn? Ayvei." Only in New York can you get away with such things. But this bridge obviously connected Jewish communities. You go back years ago, the Williamsburg community used to be, now it's predominantly the Jews that live in Williamsburg, are Hasidim, Samar Hasidim, other Hasidim. But Williamsburg today is a Hasidish city. But here, yes, it's definitely been gentrified, and there are some clashes sometimes between inhabitants of the of the new Williamsburg. But at the same time, it used to be just a regular Jewish major enclave. In fact, Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim, interesting bit of trivia, began in Williamsburg. Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim was right there, South 9th Street. I remember you drive in Williamsburg, you see the overpasses, South 6th, South 9th. But a major, major community. And you had people going between the Lower East Side and Williamsburg, or Williamsburg to Lower East Side. The Shaila came up. Hasidim of the Satmar Rebbe were coming from Manhattan, Lower East Side to Williamsburg. And so to the other way, people had the Shaila. Jews who were going to hear, let's say, the Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah Drasha of Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Lower East Side, or other Rabbanim in the Lower East Side. So people would travel over that bridge. Can one walk over that bridge on Shabbos? So I'd like to do, before we get into the specifics of that question, go over some basic ideas of the halachas of Tchumim, the Isser of Tchumim on Shabbos. Now the first halacha is in the middle of your page. Everyone sees here the diagram. You'll hold off before we use it. Now, really, I could have started a siman earlier that the pasuk is a pasuk and parshas Bashalach, Shvu Ish Mitachtav, tells us that a person has within his domain four amos. Now, just for simplicity, an ama is measured, according to Moshe, 21.25 inches, right? Which is almost 2 feet per ama. So a person has within his halachic sphere, simply on Shabbos, you have four amos in all directions. So four amos. Figuring an ama is almost 2 feet, so that's, you know, it's not 8 feet, but somewhere near that. Now, that's all. We'll see in a moment if you're by yourself on a road. If you're within a city, you have more than that. And then we'll get to the Dinim of Tchum. So the halacha writes, this is Shin Tazayin, Tzadidayin. Kol Adam Yishlo Alpayim Amal Chorach. Every person beyond your Dalet Amos has 2,000 Amos in all directions. Chutz Midalet Amos of Omei Amakom Sheshavas Ba. You have 2,000 Amos that you're able to walk and travel in each direction on Shabbos. Where does this come from? So the Mishnah Berurah explains. Fu Takanas Chacham. So it's important to know. The din of Tchum Shabbos, of 2,000 Amos, that din is a din derabbanan. It's Takanas Chachamim. The Minatorah Mutal Halach Ad Yud Beis Mil. The Minatorah, a person has 12 mil. A mil is approximately 2,000 Amos. So 12 mil means you have 24,000 Amos. Right? Also, 2,000 amos, the mil, is approximately 6/10 of a mile. So that's 1 mil, right? You have 12 mil, obviously much more significant than that. Now, where does this come from? So, the Minatorah Moto Halach Ad Yud Beis Mil Kishir Machni Yisrael B'Midbar. This is based, just like we have all our other malachos based on the Jews in the Midbar. This din was also based on what happened to the Jewish people in the Midbar, where they had the shear of the whole camp was 12 mil. Uviyosim yizeh aser, t'ksiv al yitze ish mimkomo, v'imimkomo koyal machne. Okay. So, the basic idea is we're modeling our actions on Shabbos from what went on in the Midbar. So there, the whole Jewish camp, place where Jews are allowed to be on Shabbos is 12 mil. So in the Raisa, that's the amount that one could have. However, the Rabbanim were afraid of a person going beyond that. And Takana was 2,000 amos. 1 mil. Obviously, drastically limiting, at least from the Raisa starting point, where a person could go on Shabbos. Now, the 2,000 mil, the Mechaber to tell us, that's really 2,000 amos plus 4. Because we said innately every person has four amos, so it's really 2,004 amos. Now, okay, 2,000 amos, 6/10 of a mile, pretty good. But that's all if you're standing alone, let's say, outside. Right, outside in the field. So right now, I could walk, or if, let's say, this, now, the way you determine this, lots of concepts to explain here, is where are you at the onset of Shabbos? That's what we define as your Makom Shvisa, the place of where you're dwelling. Where are you in the onset of Shabbos? Wherever you are at that point in Shabbos, you have 2,000 amos to walk. Now, that's, we'll see in a moment, this comes up in many cases, but in a one particular case, let's say a person is stranded on the road on Shabbos, right? You're traveling, trying to get somewhere, and unfortunately, you hit traffic, you had car issues, and you're not getting to your destination on time. You're not going to be there for Shabbos. Okay, so you have to get out of your car, you know, get rid of all your stuff, and technically you could walk, but depending where you are, you may only have now these 2,000 amos, that's 6/10 of a mile to walk. So that makes it quite tricky. So obviously a person is traveling on Erev Shabbos. I remember in yeshiva, one of the big things, you know, they're very makbid on Seder in yeshiva. You know, yeshiva goes to 1 o'clock, you got to be there to 1 o'clock. But I remember in the summer months, guys who were traveling on Friday from New York City up to the Catskills, up to the mountains, or by Neumann, that's how. It was normally very makbid on Seder. But if you were traveling to the mountains, he threw you out of yeshiva earlier than that. He says, you have to leave early. And, right, you don't want to be stuck on the road. And definitely on those roads leading up to the mountain, Sloatsburg and this, it could easily have major tchum issues and traffic issues and many other issues. So wherever you end up at the onset of Shabbos, you normally have 2,000 amos, 2,004 really amos, for you to walk. Now, let's say you ended off Shabbos inside, right? We're starting off in the field. Now you're in a farmhouse. Let's say you have a huge farmhouse out there in the middle of nowhere. So really, it doesn't, you start counting your steps of 2,000 amos after you leave the house. Actually, if the house is surrounded by a gate, you would have 2,000 amos beyond the gate of that house now that you could walk. Here's a big, very practical thing. That's all if you're basically in the middle of nowhere or in a house in the middle of nowhere. Let's say you're in a city, so then you're good. Then you'd have 2,000 amos beyond the city. So that's why most of the time these halachas, as long as you're home sweet home, in a normal residential city, for the most part, you could walk around Shabbos between here and your neighbors. No problem. You never have to start counting your steps, especially if you don't have your Fitbit or Garmin, you know, on Shabbos. You don't have to count your steps because you're within a city. Now, what constitutes a city? So don't tell me, well, Miami-Dade County, the municipality, says this is the city limits. Halakhically, it doesn't go like that. We don't determine a city just by, till here my taxes would be like this, and now I'm paying less over there. No. A city is basically six houses within close proximity of each other. The basic share for that, I think I found it was around 70 amos. Yeah. Six homes within each home within 70 amos of each other. There, that's considered part of the city. So again, Yeah. So if you have a cluster of six homes, each within seven amos, that's a city. Once you have an individual house beyond that, that's already outside the city. Now, there are many, so if you're inside regular North Miami Beach, Hollywood, Boca, or our major residential communities here in South Florida, you're good. You can walk up and down. Now, these doesn't have to be Jewish homes. They could be, as long as people live there, that's part of the city. And one has free rein to walk all about the city on Shabbos. Right? You might have to know where the Erev is if you want to bring a bottle of water with you. But for the most part, in terms of walking, you can walk wherever you want on Shabbos. Now, applications, though, are where in more rural settings in New York, people love spending the summers up in the Catskills. The Catskills, many places you go, you would run into these issues. You're in a bungalow colony, great. But many times between one bungalow colony and the next is a distance. And it doesn't have to be, you know, 0.6 miles, 2,000 amos. 0.6 miles is not a long, it's pretty relatively short. So many times if a person would walk out of your camp in the Catskills or out of your bungalow colony, you're in trouble of tchum. People sometimes don't know of this. You live in Muncie, pretty major Jewish community. But over there, right, people have bigger homes or bigger, I would say, acreage. And there's forests and this. It's very plausible you can have situations where the halachic city ends. You could have houses which are relatively near each other. But then you have another house that was built a little bit further out. That could already be beyond the city. And you have to start counting tchum. And it could even potentially be an issue on Shabbos of walking sort of from one side of the neighborhood to the other. You might be running into an issue of tchum. Interesting. Muncie on Shabbos. Bridges over here. So I went through with the city planner before I gave the share. Thinking about where are there tchum issues here in South Florida. So the canal itself here, I doubt, right? It's not wide enough to really make any big distinction.
Is it the width or is it the fact that it's man-made?
Man-made doesn't matter, as I'll show you in a case a little bit later.
Because these are all dog.
Right, these are all dog and man-made.
For those that walk to Aventura Hospital, they'll take the highway itself and they walk. So running, so that you can actually see the homes obviously doesn't make a difference. But you run into Shiloh depending on
people walk when you say walk on the highway.
They walk on the side of the highway.
They walk on the side of the I-95.
Yeah, because they find that's a faster, better route to
the
hospital.
Yeah, so that sounds
hospital.
That sounds
going to go to the hospital very fast.
Great line. Yes, that will get you to the hospital quite fast sometimes.
Yeah, first of all, it's against the law.
Right. It's against.
Yes.
Yes.
A commercial road like US 1 is just businesses and no homes.
Oh, so, okay, very good point. Businesses, I believe, are also included in this. People that are spending time in these places, I don't know if they have to actually have a bed in the place, but really any business, any interaction that people are spending time there, that would also be good. But you bring up an interesting point of walking on the side of a highway, really, right? Again, I'm sure the city does not recommend it. And halakhically, probably also not easy to recommend because that's really like a bridge situation. You're walking in an area which is really beyond the halakhic city. There aren't any houses Now, okay, maybe there are, if the, you know, depending on the side, the, right, the walls and different things, this is, we're going to get into the bridge issue. So this is not so simple. I thought of the case of a bridge someone mapped out for me to cross the intra-coastal. So most of the points, many of the bridges are pretty relatively short. Let's say you walk from here to Sunny Isles on Shabbos. So that actual bridge that you're crossing is not so long.
So all more than 140 feet. Every one of those examples you quoted, 70 amos, is only 140 feet. The canals are more than 140 feet. I mean, it's not that much.
That's equivalent to two houses.
Yeah.
So you want to say the city would end with that?
No, but how do you catch? Well, okay, let's throw this out. Get it out.
Not so simple. Right.
How do you calculate the city? What if, you're telling me if you
so
have
I'm going to get there. Right.
A house is like this.
Right.
And in the middle of the city, you have a big park. Nobody lives in there. So what is that?
Okay. I'll get to more specifically how we count some of these cities.
So we'll talk. These
that's where the diagram and stuff comes in.
All
right.
In the city.
But let's talk about a bridge for a minute. Like the length of a bridge.
So completely closed off.
Yeah.
Meaning an island type of situation.
Right, which is Miami Beach.
Miami Beach is out of the country.
Right. So to walk, for example, simple point, to go across the I-195, right, when you go to Miami Beach, that long stretch. Right. The bridge itself is, what's it,
It's a causeway.
That causeway itself is beyond the tchum. That itself would be an issue.
Yeah.
You would not be able to cross, even though it was one of those beautiful things to walk across. But
is it because of the length of the bridge?
Yes.
So if you went to Miami Beach via Bell Harbor, would that
no
be
can
a
do
would that be,
no, yeah, no can do it. Because of the Hall Over Beach blocks it. I asked the shop. That's where I went to the shop.
How does that tie in?
Hall Over Beach,
right.
Drive down Column.
Right, so
there's a gap, a length, a mile, maybe half a mile, of Hall Over Beach. There's no housing there.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one
right.
Little restaurant or something. So
that's going to be the...
That way, you can't get there through Julia Cuddle. The other causeway also is too long. You go over, what is it, 905?
So these things come up. It's a very... Besides how it's a long walk on Shabbos, the practical thing people get involved in these things is if you have someone in the hospital, right? Let's say your wife wants to give birth in Miami Beach, and your family lives in North Miami Beach. So you're stuck. You're not really able to get from Miami Beach to North Miami Beach on Shabbos. You'd have to make sure to spend your Shabbos in Miami Beach.
There's one way to walk to Miami Beach from here.
Yeah.
Venetian Causeway, US 1 to the Venetian Causeway. Venetian Causeway is solid residence the whole way across. That's the only way you can walk to Miami Beach.
I can go through a little.
Okay.
That's a lot of solid residence the whole way.
Right. So people are saying it's a little dangerous. Okay, but that's a different story.
It's not.
We talked about carrying the gun to Shabbos, but it has to be within an Erev.
The first gap is longer. That's not.
Okay, so we'll go back to our audience at home. They don't know of all of our Florida issues necessarily. But I'll tell you a personal story where I came in contact with the Tchum issue on Shabbos. This is quite interesting. I was intending to fly home from Eretz Yisrael for Pesach vacation years ago. I was a Bacher learning in Eretz Yisrael. And somehow someone talked me into, instead of flying El Al, it's cheaper if you fly in this airline, now defunct, called Tower Air.
Oh, sure.
I'm not sure anyone remembers Tower Air.
Oh boy,
if you ever flew in Tower Air, you remember Tower Air.
Right up there with People's Express.
Oh, Tower Air was the most heinish, yeshivish airline you ever came in contact with. I flew it twice, back from Israel and to Israel. My less harrowing flight was a flight back to Israel, which I remember us stopping every 2 minutes because we needed more fuel or the bathrooms were jammed. Like, we stopped. It took us forever to take off. Then we took off. We had to stop. It was like... Yeah. But that was the easier of the two flights. My first flight, I was supposed to fly out of Eretz Yisrael on Thursday night. Okay, great. Thursday night before Pesach, I'll fly out. A couple weeks before Pesach. Fly out. Then we got messages. The plane's delayed. It's not flying out Thursday night. Okay. Guess we'll fly out first thing Friday morning. Plane's not flying out first thing Friday morning. And what's very tricky, especially in those days, there was no, if we didn't get on this flight, there were all the other flights were booked to get from Israel to America to be there for Pesach. This was complicated. There was like, I remember like a dozen guys from Yeshiva were all on the flight. And it's getting, and the flight gets keeps the game pushed off later and later. We didn't even leave Yeshiva. We were still in Yeshiva in the middle of Yerushalayim. Because we keep on getting messages, the flight's being pushed off. We sent the Shiloh to none other than Rabbi Yoshev himself, asking what we should do. I think at one point the flight was scheduled to take off. Pretty sure it was 11 or 12, I think it was 12 p.m. Friday afternoon. Right there before Shabbos.
That's really cutting.
It's really, really cutting it close. And well, you have, you're going the other way, so you have, you're gaining time. So we asked Rabbi Yoshev the Shiloh. Rabbi Yoshev said we were allowed to go on the flight with the following condition. Two conditions. First, we would take with grape juice and challah. And secondly, here's a very interesting tchum issue. Rabbi Yoshev said, we have to make sure that if the plane, Chas HaShom, lands on Shabbos, then we're stuck on the plane. Your tchum, you went beyond the tchum of Shabbos, you can't walk any further. When the plane lands, you're going to be stuck, really, on the plane.
Before you get arrested.
Oh. Rabbi Yoshev thought of that. He said it, and if obviously, the government, you know, would force you off the plane, which they would, then you're stuck in the terminal for the rest of Shabbos. And you have to be ready to accept that. So...
You can't take your carry-on off the plane with you either.
Good point. Excellent. I'll get to that in a second. So, yeah, we accepted that, and we flew. Luckily, Baruch Hashem, this is one of these like unbelievable stories. I have stories and stories on the flight. We made it. We landed in New York City. Shabbos, I think, was like something like 5 o'clock. We landed, it was after 3. They knew this was a Jewish flight and all that. They whisked us. We didn't even go through. There was like some machine that took us like straight off the plane. They whisked us through customs. And everything was great. Except my parents didn't know what to do because they lived in Brooklyn, going to JFK.
They told you to take a taxi.
So they told me to take a taxi. I get to the thing, and some like Chinese airline landed like right before. There's like 200 Chinese people waiting for taxis in New York City. End of the story. Just an amazing story. I got a bracha from my Rebbe, by Kinnarik Shlita. And basically, I found someone offered me a ride to Brooklyn, and I got to Brooklyn, walked in my door 2 minutes before Lech Benchen. Amazing. But it all began in a Tower Air flight, which almost made me stuck in a tchum on Shabbos.
That's kind of things.
Now, wait, I want to get to a point someone just mentioned before. Okay.
Up till 20 minutes ago, I always understood that was the city stops and you have up to 1,700 feet or 2,000, whatever it is.
2,000 amos,
and
right.
Now I'm hearing this measured at 140 something feet.
No, that's, okay, we'll get back to that. But someone just brought up, and I was talking over that story, I wouldn't be able to take my luggage with also. Excellent point. The Isser of Tchum applies to men, women, children. It also applies to your possessions. Your possessions can't go outside of Tchum or not. So if you'd be stuck in a scenario like that, your plane lands on Shabbos, you would not be able to handle your luggage and take it post to Chum, just like you.
So what do you do with
it? What do you do with it?
You can't take it anyway.
Okay.
You can tell right.
You can tell
flight.
Okay.
Looks
right. Okay.
No. There's
no air. There's no air. Okay. Good. Okay. Other stuff. You're right. But I'll tell you another aspect where Chum comes up. I don't know how many people here still get the New York Times. Now, we could talk about why maybe you shouldn't be getting the New York Times any day of the week. I also don't know how the New York Times goes about their publishing. Do they print the New York Times here in Florida? Or is it all shipped in from New York? Huh? So they probably have some satellites. That's what I was expecting. But, you know, the common nice thing, oh, you get the paper, you read it before davening, you have everything to tell all your friends at shul. One issue that sometimes comes up when you check is where is this paper delivered from?
Right.
If it was delivered from chutz to tchum, then you can't really use it. Tchum doesn't just apply to a person themselves, it also applies to their possessions.
I mean, practically, it is a problem nowadays with many shipments, depending on what it is. With Amazon, you can order stuff Friday, and it's delivered on Shabbos morning, next day delivery. It is highly probable that that item was not sitting. I mean, it depends where it's coming from.
Right.
But many of them in a local warehouse, but many times, it was coming from Orlando, you know that
right.
It probably wasn't there. Friday
night,
you ordered it 2 hours before Shabbos.
Yeah.
Your mail.
So when I go to Publix Sunday morning, there's definitely things in that Publix that came out of the tchum.
Sunday morning, you have no problem.
Sure.
The issue we're talking about, the tchum issue, is a specific issue for Shabbos. So you bring me up, if you have a package, you have a newspaper, these things end up by your door on Shabbos, you have to know the scenarios where they're coming from. You know, besides might be most of the issues
that,
involved. Also, these are all complicated things. But yes, you could have a problem with that.
The delivery would be the same as the post office. They're doing it anyways. Even the letter, you own that letter. It's your letter. It's they're going to deliver to you anyways as part of their normal.
Yeah, you're giving a svara malacha where they're doing it anyway. They're not doing it for you. This is a different thing. Isser of tchum is irrelevant of all malacha heterim. It's its own iser, and if something comes outside of the chum, no ifs, ands, or buts, you can't have benefit for that on Shabbos.
Even if it's not in your
yes.
Use.
Now, really, this whole concept of chum, as I see, I'm not opening an Amazon box, I'm not opening a Pandora's box. There's a lot that comes with this iser of chum. And yeah, there are much more ramifications than we normally think of. It's not just if you're upstate, if you're in a country type setting. There are issues that you could come across around here where you would have an issue of tchum on Shabbos, and it's something to keep in mind, something to know of. Now let me get to the Williamsburg Bridge. Hold on, I have to cross the bridge. So. The bridge itself is 4,000 amos wide, long. That 4,000 amos is obviously double the amount of a Tchum Shabbos. Right? It's double your 2,000 amos. What's very interesting about the bridge, roughly a third of it is hovering over Brooklyn. A third of it is over the East River. And a third of it is hovering over Manhattan. That's the nature of the bridge. So when you walk on that bridge, do you have these, seemingly you should have an issue that I'm leaving the city. And now I'm entering no man's land. Now you'll say, well, if only one third is, I'm still really hovering over, let's say I'm starting the Brooklyn side. I'm hovering over Brooklyn. Then I'm walking, it's only one third the amount. The one third of something with 4,000 amos, right, is not yet a violation of the tchum. Yeah, but really, not really in Manhattan either. Granted, you're walking over the airspace, but the bridge has walls to it. So really, what is it? It's not this, it's not that. So this question was posed to the Minchas Yitzchak. Dayan Weiss of Eretz Yisrael was asked a shayla about the Williamsburg Bridge. So he has fascinating tshuva. He comes up with, in the tshuva, multiple tzadim to matter it. Multiple reasons to matter it. He has four. I'll quickly mention two of them. Firstly, he has an idea, and in the tshuva, he quotes Rav Moshe Feinstein, who expresses basically the same type of idea. If you have lots of people that walk there, then that's considered a place where people live. Just as we mentioned before, people living doesn't mean you have to have a bed there. If you said a factory, a store, a mall, people are shopping at, okay, that means it's populated by people. People are spending time there. Being the fact that Williamsburg Bridge had a pathway for people, and people are normally walking there, you could consider that a place of living, even though it's over the East River. Right? So, Mamela, according to that, you never really left the city. This bridge really does connect Manhattan to Brooklyn. It's all one big metropolis.
It's a place of transportation with people, but there's no established.
Right. And if a homeless guy said, "Where, hey, Mr. Officer, this I live on this bridge. This is my bridge," right? The cop would, I assume he wouldn't kick him off the bridge. He usually stops people from doing that. But he wouldn't allow him that. But being the fact people walk there, spend time there, that's enough to be called the Malkum Dira. That would work.
Specifically walking or other forms of transportation?
Yeah, biking is good too.
The highway in Miami being different, there's people constantly traveling.
No. Interesting, because cars. Right? He's bringing up Mr. Mayoroff Jr. He's bringing up a svara that maybe, hey, we were talking before about walking alongside the I-95. So maybe this type of svara would work over there too, because look, people are going in cars over there. I'm not sure how you define that. It's interesting.
Oh, no, you can't do that right away. Then you can get on 95 and walk to South Carolina.
Yeah,
if you can do that one day, good luck.
Right.
So what's the difference?
The difference might be, I'm just saying the off top of my head, the difference between walking or maybe even bicycling and in a car, a car is its own entity. What? Right? Even the Hoshayel is in Hilchos Toma, being inside a car might be different. So that's not, if you're in the car, right, you wouldn't say, where are you? I'm chilling on I-95. No, you're inside a car. Right, even though when you hit New York traffic, you do feel like you're just on. LIE is the world's biggest parking garage.
The difference between walking or bicycling versus being in public.
Exactly, right, that's what I'm saying. Like for a cemetery, a bicycle wouldn't help, but a car would. So maybe your car trick, I would assume, would not work with that. But if you're walking or even bicycling, that means you're spending time there. That means you're living there. Additionally, Milchus Yitzchak has another svara. There are train tracks on the Williamsburg Bridge. Those train tracks are fully covered. And he said that also, even if you wouldn't use the people occupancy issue, but the train tracks being covered makes that a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And that could connect Brooklyn to Manhattan via the bridge. So he also would like to say that one matret. He brings in his tshuva that the Satmar Rebbe, I guess who was asked to Shaila for his Hasidim in Williamsburg, also permitted, doesn't give his reasoning for it. But these are the basic ideas that the Minchas Yitzchak gives why one would allow, and they therefore did permit people to travel Lower East Side to Williamsburg and Williamsburg to Lower East Side on that bridge. because either I'm offering two of them, A, people are passing on that bridge. That obviously would only work for a bridge that has the ability for people to go on. Not every bridge are people allowed to walk across or bike across. And the second heter he gives is based on the fact that there is a covered train path. He says that would make it an enclosed area. It wouldn't be a regular Rosh Hashanah. And the Mela, you could connect that way, Manhattan to Brooklyn. Those are his two heterim.
Like what is it called where you put a matzah? Oh,
excellent point. That, I'm not going into today, that's another aspect of Tchumim, is one way to get around the problem of Tchumim is to make what you call an Erev Tchum. That Erev would be putting matzah, putting some food that you could use for Shabbos, which would extend your 2,000 amos to that point. That's considered living space. But that's complicated. That can't be necessarily utilized in all scenarios. That could be done in the Catskills, but okay.
That'll only get you 2,000. Yeah, you need a gap of 4,000. If the gap is more than 4,000, you can go 2,000 out and put it, and you go another 2,000.
Right.
So if the two cities are within 4,000, that would help. But if it's more than 4,000, it's not going to help.
Keep doing it.
Now,
you only have one.
So, Rabbi, I wanted to go back to the airplane thing. Is that something that could affect
a lot of people. Yeah.
So you're on the airplane, they stop, they say, no, you can't stay on the airplane. Government is forcing you off. You can't carry your carry-on, which has your emergency Shabbat food in it, right? So somebody takes it off the airplane, brings it from the airplane to the terminal for you. Are you allowed to open it and use it?
Very good question. I'm not sure. See, really, even if it's not even an issue of it's in your carry-on. Let's say you were holding it in your hand. You'd run into the same problem. Because you can't go beyond that.
We're closed.
Right? So clothes, they even talk about, you know, what's considered really part of your clothes, not part of your clothes. You know. Yeah. So, right. These are complicated halakhic issues. If you find yourself trapped on a plane and this... First of all, I take earlier flights, but a lot of times it's hard. There's an issue, I think, this past year, right? Some LL flights ran into issues on Shabbos. It is scary.
This also becomes an issue practically. I don't know if it's okay here in Miami. Certainly if you're in the Catskills. So sometimes you have an emergency. So Khalila, somebody has to go to the hospital. And the hospital is split, there's who knows where it is. So it's because Nefesh. You get to the hospital, and now the patients, whoever you're with, they're stabilized. You're with them, but now you're close to Chum at that point.
Correct.
You're stuck.
So
all this stuff is in
action.
Interesting. Right. A cruise. Right.
I know what you're asking.
These cruise ships, I don't know. They have the din of its own city. Some of these things are big. Mm-hmm. But that sounds like a good topic to give a share on about cruise ships.
Carnival.
Right.
You're
too young to go on a cruise. Hold on.
I know they got attacked, but they can go out
on the deck.
They can go out to the city on Shabbos. I don't know how they.
And the cruise ships go out.
Once they dock on Shabbos in different cities.
Right, that's a very, very interesting. Right, very, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. On a cruise ship that would dock on Shabbos somewhere to exit the ship to go to that city, it does not sound like a simple.
Planes are one thing, but that cannot be.
No, right,
that's
correct.
Probably all over.
Yes. Okay, so far we have one heter for the Minchas Yotzeva. What I'd like to show you is a second heter I came across on this Williamsburg Bridge issue. But the relevance of this second heter applies way beyond bridges. This heter came from Rav David Feinstein when he was asked about crossing the Williamsburg Bridge. He is a proud resident of the Lower East Side. And he would allow people to walk the Williamsburg Bridge on Shabbos. Based on the concept of squaring off a city. Now, if you look on your sheets, top left diagram, for those watching at home, they have this nice little diagram of a city. Those little things in the middle are supposed to be houses.
Monopoly.
Now you see, right, it looks like your kid's playing Monopoly. The houses are quite scattered out. This wasn't built like, you know, North Miami Beach City is house next to house. A little more happenstance. So the way you're able to square, to evaluate an Eruv of a city, where is considered the end of a city that I have 2,000 amos. So very interesting idea. You're able to take on each side of the compass, the northernmost, the southernmost, east and western house, and that's your border line. And you could draw an imaginary line from there. Let's say, take for example, you see the northern house. You draw an imaginary line that encompasses a box to, let's say, the most eastward house, which is all the way towards the bottom side over there, the most southern house, the most western house, and you have yourself a square. The dinim of Erev go from that square. Which obviously, if you're calculating like this, you really have a significant more amount of space under your domain. Because being the fact, yes, in terms of tchum.
They don't hold by square.
Right? Maybe that's in the, right. That's why they call the city, he says, New Square. But they... You have this city, you have this spot, you square it out. Now you're from the 2,000 amos, as you see on that diagram, go from within the box. So even though there's big gaps between them, but you're able to calculate the 2,000 amos from the box. That's clear. Here's the next step. If I do this between two cities, let's say, for example, I square out the city of Brooklyn. Okay? So I'll take my most northern house, my most southern house, southern, eastern, western houses, square it out, makes a square. Then I do the same thing for Manhattan. What happens if the two squares overlap?
No problem.
So according to many poskim, now you got yourself one big city.
Greater New York.
Exactly. That is how you could connect Brooklyn to Queens, Brooklyn to Manhattan. By utilizing a square for each city, right? Let's say, for example, the bridge is over here. So you have your big gap. There's no houses anywhere near the bridge. But that doesn't matter because alongside, depending how you square it, right, alongside it, there are houses. So you could end up having two cities connected through squares. That works, according to many poskim.
Does it have to be an arrow with the string or just an imaginary square?
No, this is this is an imaginary line.
It's hard to visualize how those can overlap.
So we could take out a Brooklyn, right? We could take out... Now, if you just Google Maps does not yet have the Erev Tchumim option. Right? Google Maps could do many things. They have yet to do this. Now, you know, on the web, you have, you know, Wikipedia. There actually is something called Halachapedia. You could look up halachic terms on the web. But again, I don't know that they have a map option that you could square out and figure out how these cities. It's a complicated thing. This is not really for individuals to work out. This is more for Rabbanim, major poskim to calculate. But this Reb David Feinstein allows would be a way that you could connect Brooklyn to Queens. Brooklyn, excuse me, to Manhattan. And the mail is no problem. Now, I would say there is a debate amongst poskim. Is this something you can really do, connecting cities through squaring them out? And there's a debate even within what the Chazon Ish himself holds. I think think Reb Chaim Kanievsky is on one side, and Reb Nissen Karelitz, which is a nephew, is on the other side, whether the Chazon Ish held that this or not. But there are many poskim who would allow you to connect two cities through squaring them out. And that's the way Reb Dov Feinstein says you can connect Brooklyn to Manhattan. It's interesting, the Minchas Yitzchak himself brings this concept of squaring out cities in a later tshuva. He himself didn't use this as a heter when he was dealing with the Williamsburg Bridge. But Reb Dov Feinstein says, no, that would have been a heter unto itself, utilizing this concept of squaring off cities.
It doesn't make sense because in both those scenarios, in Manhattan, Brooklyn, whatever it will be, the properties are maxed out to the full size of the land. And if that's the case, there's not going to be this extra squaring space available because they are already maxed out to the... Manhattan goes right to the river. Brooklyn goes right to the river. So I can't visualize how square that is going to extend.
If you look at a map, squaring correct.
And it would square off so that it actually overlaps into Brooklyn.
Oh, you know, I do wish... Harvey, we have to figure out a way to do this.
This is complicated.
Right. I should really be like a weatherman. I should have my charts for a share like this over here, and we'll have the maps of Manhattan, the maps of Brooklyn, and, you know, I'll start Xing and out. Okay, that's the next generation Sunday morning show. Yeah, okay. I think I'm already on the big screen. But... I'll tell you where this comes up in another very interesting city. There's a city, started off as a small city, small countryside, but today it's really become a major metropolis in the Jewish world. A city called Lakewood. Lakewood, like its name, is famous for a lake, a man-made lake. It's actually, right. Really, the original, I believe, I checked it up. This original lake, which is in the middle of Lakewood, was originally built for, I believe, for water power for a mill. Yeah. So they built the dam, and the mill, they had this man-made lake, which separates the north side from the south side. The yeshiva of Lakewood is on the north side. All the big hospitals are on the south side. So Baruch Hashem, there's a pretty big birth rate in Lakewood. And there are questions. Could one walk back and forth from the hospitals? If someone lives, it's not so easy to get housing in the north side anymore. But if someone lives in the north side of Lakewood, could someone walk to the in-laws house? Right? Could someone walk back on Shabbos?
Why would that be a problem only if you're walking down the center of the lake? If you walk along Collins Avenue, so what? The ocean is there.
Right. So, like we said, the issues of this body of water will break up the residential nature. That will be the city limit, potentially. And that might be the end of it. But if I'm able, the heter, which some poskim talk about, is this idea of squaring. If I'm able to square off the city, I'm able to consider it one big, is really Lakewood two halachic cities or one? The municipality considers it one city. There's one city of Lakewood. It doesn't matter if there's a big body of water in between.
You ever road that connects to houses on it?
People walking.
But... yeah, not so simple. I don't know the exact topography.
It is beyond connected now. I mean, I don't know when that child was proposed.
Recently.
Yeah, recently? Okay, yeah. It is packed. There's houses every which way on top of...
Yeah, but what about the water?
What?
What about the water?
The water doesn't go around, though. You could go houses all the way around, any which way.
Okay. Not sure fully how they define that. But let me end with a story. So we definitely, hopefully, pun intended, walk away from share today is the halachas of Erevin are quite complicated in general. all of Erevin. And Erev Tchumim are no exception. And really these things are, you know, it's not really for city planners to take out a map and start, okay, I'll figure out what the city is. A lot of halakhic considerations involved, I just really touched upon some of them. But on the broader topic of Erevin, which is connected to all this, there once was, years ago, there was a major issue in Brooklyn that they wanted to make an Erev in Brooklyn. And the Shiloh ended up being sent to Ramosha Feinstein. And Ramosha Feinstein says, you cannot have an Erev in Brooklyn. And that itself, I could probably give a share on, quite complicated topic. Queens, the other boroughs of New York have Erevin that Ramosha himself approved. But he would not give it to Brooklyn. Complicated why, what's the difference between Brooklyn and everything else? How, what's so bad about Brooklyn? But there was a meeting of different Rabbanim. And at that meeting, some Rabbanim wanted, there is a quote-unquote Erev in Brooklyn today. Not approved by Ramosha. But some Rabbanim said, hey, look, why don't, look, Rabbi Feinstein's entitled to his opinion. We're rabbis too. So we have our opinion. Our opinion should be that there should be an Erev in Brooklyn. So one of the Rabbanim there, who was a Talmud Chacham and wanted to defend Ramosha, turned to the rabble-rouser who was challenging Ramosha. He asked him, how many prakim are there in Maseches Erevin? The person did not have the answer on the tip of his tongue. He said, Ramosha Feinstein, you don't know how many prakim there are in the Masechta, and these are some of the most complicated halachas around. I'm not sure you have an opinion. Quite a line to say, you know, behind closed doors.
There were renegades.
But, yeah, but these halachas of Tchumim are definitely complicated, but what is simple is to realize the issues involved, and Be'ez Hashem, if we come across such situations, we should know to ask Shilohs and to try to figure it out to the best of our abilities. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.